And the Torah tells us once again about the obligation to offer the Karban Pesach now in the desert. We are told that people who are tameh, people who are ritually impure, are exempt and excluded from the Karban Pesach. Only if you're tahor can you bring and eat the meat of the Karban Pesach. The people who are tameh cannot participate in this mitzvah. In that context, we read a very powerful and poignant pasuk in Perek Tes, Pasuk Zion, where a group of people who were tameh, who wouldn't be able to participate in the Karban Pesach, approach Moshe and they complain, "Lama nigara levilti hikriv es karban Hashem b'moado? Why should we be deprived of offering the Karban Pesach at its designated time?" And as a result of this question and complaint, Moshe Rabbeinu says he needs to consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and eventually the response that is given to Moshe and communicated to the people and to the Torah and has now become part of Jewish halacha experience in the Torah is the notion of the institution of Pesach Sheni, the idea that people who are Tameh or perhaps some other technical exemptions and therefore can't participate in the Karban Pesach at the right time, which is usually, of course, offered on Erev Pesach and then eaten that night at the Seder. So people in such a category are allowed to then, 1 month later on Yud Dalet Iyar, bring a stand-in kind of Karban known as the Pesach Sheni. What is really interesting is that going back to the initial request that these people had and the complaint, Lama Nigara, so Rashi actually quotes that they weren't just complaining, but in fact they had an actual suggestion, which, as is understood by Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer Darash Moshe, was basically as follows. They were saying, listen, we understand that we can't actually participate in the Karban because we're Tameh, but why can't we become part of a Chabura, which together with other Tahor people bring the Karban, and then even though we can't actually offer the Karban, that'll be done by the Kohanim, and we can't even eat from the Karban that night at the Seder because we're Tameh, but the people who are Tahor, who are part of our Chabura, who signed on and brought the animal along with us, they'll eat from the Karban. Fascinating that that would be their suggestion. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, there again in his Sefer, Darash Moshe, it's nice that they had a suggestion, right? We always say, don't just complain, but offer a suggestion. So it's good that they had a suggestion. But on some level, it really makes no sense, even as a hypothetical suggestion. Because even if that was feasible, which it could be theoretically, nevertheless, says Rav Moshe, it would not have helped or benefited the Tameh people whatsoever. What would they have gained from that? The mitzvah is to eat the Karban Pesach, and that they fully acknowledge, and it's unquestionable that they cannot do. That's explicitly written in the Torah. A Tameh person cannot participate. So what would they have gained by signing on to and joining a Chabura of Tohar people, themselves, the Tohar people who would eat from the meat of the Karban? That doesn't help or benefit the Tameh person whatsoever. So why would that have been their suggestion? In response to this, Moshe Feinstein suggests that what was really going on was a certain attitude or mentality that these people were exhibiting, which is not only deserving of our respect, but more importantly, deserving of our imitation. That is to say, it is an incredible lesson not only about them, but more importantly, it's instructive for us. Says Ramoshe, Tzarech Lomer Davar Chadash. Da'av She'en Yotzin, even though it's true, they would not have been Yotzei whatsoever, the Tameh people. Mekamakam Mitzat Ahavas HaMitzvos. Who should tzarech lishtatef al kalpanim af shelo yotzei? Says Rav Moshe, it's true that they weren't going to be yotzei, but they loved the mitzvos so much that they wanted to have some connection, even if minimal, even if it ultimately didn't give them any credit, but they loved the mitzvos so much they wanted to have a connection to it. In other words, what Rav Moshe is bringing to the fore is a question of attitude. Do we view mitzvos as merely obligations and duties which, we have to accomplish? Nebuch. And therefore, if it turns out we are exempt from something, we're excited, or at least breathe a sigh of relief and just move on with our day? Or is our attitude completely different? Do we genuinely love mitzvos? Do we appreciate the privilege to do mitzvos? And then, if we have that attitude, if it turns out that we're exempt or excluded from a certain mitzvah, we're going to do our best to, so to speak, overturn that. And even if we can't overturn that exemption or exclusion, we'll still want to participate or connect in some way, in somehow. Says Rav Moshe, that is the lesson that we should take from the request of the Tameh population. That is the lesson of the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, that if a person truly loves mitzvos, then he'll want to participate and be connected to mitzvos in any way possible, even if they're not going to ultimately get the credit for the mitzvah, as the Tameh people wouldn't have, but they'll still want to do anything they can to connect to the world of mitzvos, to a specific mitzvah. Rav Moshe actually goes on to give some concrete or specific examples of where we can ourselves have this attitude. He says, as one example, let's say a person for health reasons cannot have the full measurement, a kazayis, of maror. However, he says, perhaps if it's healthy and safe for you, you could have a smaller amount. Now, it's true that a smaller amount, not eating the full measurement, the full shiur of a kazayit, you're not yotze. Okay, so you're not yotze, and it's not even your fault, because you have an exemption, because it's not healthy for you. But so what? If you really love the mitzvah, instead of just saying, oh, I'm exempt, and you know, just moving on, you'll do your best in any way you can to connect in some way. And we can imagine all sorts of other examples where a person can't do a mitzvah, or he's exempt from mitzvah because of all sorts of considerations that might be beyond his control. But if we truly love mitzvos, A, we'll be pained by that exemption, and B, we'll do whatever we can to connect in any way possible. And Moshe adds one final point, which is that Rashi, in the continuation, points out that this parsha, this section in the Torah, this mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, was always intended to be part of the Torah, and should have been therefore just given over in the Torah, by Moshe, like all the other legalistic and mitzvah sections of the Torah. How come we eventually only get this story, this mitzvah, Pesach Sheni, emerging out of the story and the dialogue between the Tamei population and Moshe? And says Rashi, it's true, it could have been just given by Moshe like the rest of the Torah and all the other mitzvos, but Magagalin Schus Al Yidei Zakai, because these people had such an incredibly virtuous and admirable attitude of love of Torah, of love of mitzvos, and they wanted to participate so badly, as a reward for that, they end up having the Zechus that their story is written into the Torah, and they become the cause through which the Torah reveals a mitzvah. The mitzvah would have been revealed anyway, but instead of just being presented as a dry legal mitzvah and obligation, it is presented through this story as a highlight and a lesson to all of us that we should imitate them and truly love the mitzvahs that we do.